Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
CHD1, a radio.com sports station.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9, the game.
I think that's one of the things that we did in free agency. We went out and got someone like Robbie Anderson, who's a dynamic player. We got Seth Roberts, who's a dynamic player. We got Keith Kirkwood, who's a you know versatile guy. So what we wanted to do was just put a bunch of weapons around Teddy and really attack people in a lot of different ways. And so I think Christian will play a ton. Obviously, he's one of the best players in the National Football League. But I don't think it'll be a situation where he doesn't where he stays on the field the entire game.
Matt Rhule, new head coach of the Carolina Panthers, talking about Joe Brady's offense. You got a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback, new wide receiver, and you all got to get on the same page in an era when you're not allowed to, meet and work out and work out the kinks. So it'll be an interesting year ahead for the Carolina Panthers. And welcome back to the morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This week we've been taking you around the NFC South, and now our stop is to up 85 to Charlotte, North Carolina, where we are joined by Nick Wilson, midday host of The Fan, WFNZ, up there in Charlotte, and he's going to be filling us in on a lot of the blanks. Hey, Nick.
Hey, happy to meet you guys, or happy to see you guys again, or talk to you guys again. I speak for a living, by the way, but good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing up there in Charlotte?
You know what, man? We're getting by, right? Isn't that the best thing we can do? Like, I'm still trying to casually gripe about, non-meaningful things so it feels like normal. But, we're just adjusting to this new normal, and I can't wait till the most significant thing we have to talk about consistently is sports.
Yeah, we're with you with that, man. I mean, it's just like just to try to get back to as normal as possible, as quickly as possible. And with that being said, the last few months with Matt Rhule, as a head coach, how's it been so far?
It's been interesting. You know, this off season was always going to be difficult because it felt like it was earmarked for change. And I don't just mean from Matt Rhule, going from Ron Rivera to Matt Rhule. I mean, just in general, the roster had got to a point where it had gotten older. They hadn't really drafted well enough to replace a lot of the guys. It had either gotten too old to be who they once were, or maybe guys who had kind of retired. So it has been a bizarre off season, and what kind of is unfortunate about it is the football decisions they've made have been good football decisions. The organization as a collective has just done a really bad job communicating them, and that is kind of reflected back on Matt Rhule. And I don't think it's indicative of his kind of direction he's trying to push the organization in. So it's been, unpopular, I think, is a great word for moving on from guys like Cam and how they moved on from him, and moving on from Greg Olsen and seeing Kuechly retire, and obviously moving on from Ron. So it's been a bit unpopular. But again, if you just go to the football side of things, and we take away the weird vibes from moving on from many faces of your franchise, I actually think there are some reasons to be excited if you're a Carolina Panthers fan, and legitimate football reasons.
Nick Wilson of The Fan in Charlotte with John and Hugh. You're right. I mean, now you're going to be transitioning away from all those names you mentioned. I mean, look at the sea change at linebacker from just a couple of years ago when Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly were, manning the fort. Now maybe Isaiah Simmons is a draft pick. You got Robbie Anderson coming in. to help out, a brand new quarterback, and there's going to be a new look. Trey Turner's been traded. There's going to be a new look and a new feel to the franchise. But as you break in a new coach, Nick, and as you bring in a new offense coordinator and a new quarterback and all these new parts into a year where you can't have OTAs, in a year where Tom Brady is suddenly in the division with Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, is there an air of acceptance that this could be a difficult season ahead for Panthers fans, or is there more air of excitement that nobody knows what we got and we're gonna shock everybody?
I think it's funny. The only people not accepting that they might be bad this year are the Carolina Panthers. Matt Rhule is – you know, come out here and been like, no, we expect to be competitive. Marty Herney, the GM, literally said these words. We're going to be competitive as we can be. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's 3 wins or 12, but not necessarily the greatest indicator of faith. You know, like I like to tell people, I'm going to be in as good of shape as I possibly can be. I'm still over 300 pounds, guys. And so I think there is, you know, from the fan base perspective, they lost 10-plus starters who started 8 or more games last year, bulk of that coming in places that were already an issue on the defense and the offensive line. So they have done some things to bring in some bodies, but I don't know that there's one spot out of maybe left tackle that you could point to and say that's a clear upgrade. So I think there is an understanding. I think there's actually, you know, if you had said this to me like 4 months ago, I don't know I would have bought it. There's a significant amount of fans who are all in on the idea of tanking for Trevor Lawrence. And when I say tanking, I don't mean the literal act of completely stripping the roster down. But I think if you went to most Panther fans right now and said, you know, in a year's time, you can have Trevor Lawrence on your roster and all you have to do is win 2 games, I think people would look at this roster and say, well, I think the most we can win anyways is 4 or 5 wins. So why not be extra bad and get that long-term building block? And again, that is a huge, huge step for Panther fans who, I mean, heck, even us, going into last season, you know, had Cam Newton been healthy, the expectation would have been you're contending for a playoff spot at the very least, and obviously they ended up with a 7th pick, so Cam wasn't healthy, and none of that happened.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, we're talking to Nick Wilson, WFNZ, midday host, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So Luke Kuechly, he's gone now. What is your contingency that you don't try to replace that guy?
There is no way. I mean, it's so funny. Like, I positionally, when we talk about positional importance, I don't have a high amount of faith in linebackers. And I don't mean linebackers in general. I'm talking about coverage linebackers. I don't believe in paying those guys. Luke Kuechly is on a different level. You know, like, replacing Luke Kuechly is the same way of trying to replace a Ray Lewis or... He truly was the quarterback of the defense. He was not just a leader, but he was very much the vocal leader on the field, always calling out what opposing players and the opposing offense was going to do. I think the best way to replace Luke Kuechly is by not even attempting to do it. There are some talks about, you know, drafting Isaiah Simmons with the 7th pick, who is a very nice draft prospect. But I'm sorry, I wouldn't do that to a 21-year-old kid, whether he's coming out of Clemson and a great prospect or not. I think when you're talking about the caliber of talent of Luke Kuechly, that takes 3 to 4 to 5 years. Now, they did sign Tahir Whitehead, who had been previously of Oakland and in Detroit. He knows Matt Rhule from back in the Temple days, way back before Matt Rhule became the head coach. But I think the new defense, and I think this is probably going to benefit whatever linebackers they do bring in, you know, the whole goal with this linebacking crew and the new defense that they're going to run here is that there isn't a true middle linebacker. And so you're going to have guys being able to play the Mike and the Sam and the Will and all these different spots, depending on what front they use. And I don't know that it's by design, but it is absolutely a virtuous thing to not have one person that you can point to and say, oh yeah, that's the guy that took over for Luke Kuechly, because people don't realize this. Like, yes, Cam was the face of the franchise, and he is the most popular Panther of all time. Luke Kuechly's not far behind in terms of his popularity in this town.
Nick Wilson joining us from Charlotte. Talk to me a little bit about Cam. How are the fans reacting to this? What do you think is going to happen to Cam? And, you know, if Cam goes somewhere else, gets healthy and goes to a Super Bowl and Teddy Bridgewater struggles, I mean, talk to me about all these things.
So what's interesting about this scenario is I think a lot of people, you know, people conflate this offseason with why what happened with Cam happened. The reality is this didn't have any this wasn't about 2020. This was about beyond 2020. The Panthers were never going to get to a point where they could feel comfortable offering him that third contract. So moving on from him was about, listen, you know, we think you might be able to get ready and play in 2020, but if he played and he played 16 games, if you look at his history here for this team and this organization, his health has coincided with, or lack of health has coincided with down seasons for the Carolina Panthers. So I think the Panthers viewed him as his health as an impediment to continued success. I'm not sure if you guys realize they haven't had back-to-back winning seasons in their entire history for the Carolina Panthers. So that's what Dave Tepper, the new owner, is trying to get through, is he wants to have a consistent winner and a consistently competitive team. So I think a lot of people, and I don't know that every Panther fan will admit it, but I would say a majority of Panthers fans understood that there were business implications with Cam Newton that were at hand here. The problem is the organization, started by their owner in February, came out and really were vague about their plans with Cam. They, you know, Matt Rhule came out at the combine and said, "Oh, I want to coach Cam. I'm so excited to coach Cam." You know, the owner basically played a who's on first, but with who's a doctor edition, because he's not a doctor, and I can't tell you about what's going to happen with Cam because of health. And then on the second day of free agency, 90 minutes before they signed his eventual replacement, a guy who people look at here as inferior to Cam Newton as a quarterback, they put out a very shoddily and very seemingly bland and insincere message of, hey, we're giving Cam the opportunity to seek a trade. We love him, though. Here's all a list of his injuries. Bye. And then 90 minutes later, they announced Teddy Bridgewater, or it was reported that Teddy Bridgewater was going to be signed. So they took what initially would have been a lot of people understanding the football behind this, and they basically really upset half of the fan base that wasn't mad because of how they treated Cam Newton. So it has not been received well at all, but it is directly tied into how the Panthers have handled it. Now, as it relates to Cam, you know, I know there have been some reports about him waiting. I think that's the best possible thing. One, it gives him an opportunity to get as healthy as humanly possible. It allows him to, in some ways, wait out, hopefully, this coronavirus and the impacts of it as a player coming off an injury. That's more what I mean. It's really tough right now to prove your health when you can't work out for teams. And so I think it's really smart to wait. There are some reports that he could wait into training camp and wait for the, you know, the Sam Bradford moment, as we remember a few years ago for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know that he'll wait that long. But right now, today, you know, Jacksonville swears they're in on Gardner Minshew. You know, New England, Bill Belichick has actually said nice things about a quarterback for the first time in 40 years, and it was Jarrett friggin' Stidham. So, like, I don't think there's an obvious spot right now that he gets to walk into. Maybe it changes after the draft. Or maybe once these teams actually get into camp and see, oh, my God, Jarrett Stidham might actually have to be my starting quarterback. Once you get into June, once you get into July, depending on teams' availabilities and their ability to work out, I would imagine a situation unfurls that is more beneficial to Cam than right now, where it feels like he'd have to walk in as a backup.
Well, Nick, it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up and what kind of an impact he has on his new team. And if he stays in the NFC and if he gets a chance to come back, and I think the most intriguing thing might be Cam coming into that stadium as an opposing starting quarterback. Wow.
Just wait. I mean, there's a realistic chance if things don't break out well in New Orleans, or if they don't get a guy in the draft, or if they really don't trust Taysom Hill as a backup, Cam Newton backing up Drew Brees for a year and then getting an opportunity in 2021 to be their starting quarterback if Drew retires on schedule, that would be a Panthers fan nightmare. but obviously for Sports Talk Radio, it would be good, so I can't completely dismiss the idea.
Thank you, Nick. Do appreciate your taking a few minutes.
Yeah, Nick, stay safe, gentlemen. Man. Stay safe.
You too, guys. Thanks so much.
Nick Wilson from The Fan in Charlotte. We are checking in this week on NFC teams across the NFC South. Be interesting season ahead for the Panthers, you know, in the division with the three quarterbacks they're up against. Peter King was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. We're going to check in with him. He has interesting things to tell Dukes and Bell about the Falcons in the draft. Now is the time to stay connected to our neighborhood businesses that are opening and open and delivering services in need, from takeout food to delivery and more. A few of the restaurants with options include Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Atlanta, the Garden and Gun Club in the Battery, the Cherry Street Brew Pub in Alpharetta. If you want to see the full list in your neighborhood or add to the list, go to 929thegame.com/love local Atlanta. What Peter King said about the Falcons in the draft, next with John and you after a CBS Sports Minute. Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 90, John the Game. Wednesday, tax day, April 15th, Jackie Robinson Day, and all that kind of good stuff. It's not really tax day, by the way. Normally it would be, but they moved the tax day back to, I think, June or July.
It's stimulus check day, John, hopefully, for some folks.
And for many people, stimulus check day. Just don't get the $6 or $7 or $8 million stimulus check and think that it's yours.
That's what you want. That's what you want. That's the one you want, though. That's the one you really want. And you want the government to forget about you, forget where they put the money.
Right. They just sit on it for a while, let them come after you. I know. Yeah. I got it. I think the measure of this draft, Hugh, is going to be, because we talked a little bit about how much this draft is going to lean on how good your scouting is. The measure of this draft is not going to be necessarily do you do the right thing in round one. The measure of this draft is going to be on the weekend. You know, what are you doing round four? What are you doing round six? Are you able to? Because you talked, for example, you talked about there was going to be, for the first time ever, this big, 52 players from the HBCUs who were going to go down to a combine?
Yeah, that were going to go to the combine, and they didn't get a chance to make it. They didn't get a chance to make it, John, because, you know, the coronavirus. Coronavirus right. Shut everything down, and they didn't get a chance to do the combine. Was going to go down there and mentor some kids trying to make it to the next level. And they're not going to get an opportunity to show what they could do. Well, at the combine, at least, in that right. setting.
And you coming out of an HBCU the way you did, we know that, you know, some of the greatest draft picks of all time have been out of HBCUs, whether it was, you know, Tuttle Jones or, you know, Deegan Jones or Jerry Rice or on and on and on and on, right?
Yeah.
And so
some
you're
great
gonna,
players come out from HBCUs, yeah.
Right.
Hall of Famers.
So you're going to find guys in those later rounds from either smaller schools, Division I, AA, FCS schools, from, Division II schools and from HBCUs that people are going to overlook because you better have done your scouting. And so somebody's going to find – I guarantee you, Hugh, there will be a multi-year All-Pro from an HBCU who's taken in this draft and probably taken late.
Probably one already in the league, John. The linebacker, I can't think of his name, from Indianapolis. He went to HBCU. So,
yeah,
right. it's guys that come from HBCUs that can play, flat out that can play. But this is where your scouting department does their job. This was going to be the first time that they've ever done this, but you guarantee, John, just like they found me at Central State in Wilberforce, they're going to find some players. It's just unfortunate that they're not going to be able to showcase the 52 guys like they would have been able to at this combine for the HBCU players.
And this is what it's going to be for the Atlanta Falcons as well. Peter King was on with Dukes and Bell. We've chopped up his interview and playing it in kind of chunks this morning. Want to play one chunk from Peter King. Now, Peter King used to be Monday Morning Quarterback, as everybody knows. Now he's got his own thing with NBC Sports, and it's called Football Morning in America. And it's a good read. Obviously, Peter's always a good read. So Football Morning in America is always a good read. This is Peter King with Dukes and Bell yesterday. And they spent a couple of minutes talking about the Falcons in this draft and what Peter King thinks of Atlanta a week from Thursday.
I think it's pretty easy to look at the Falcons right now and to just basically say, okay, you know, what do they need right now and what makes sense for them? And, you know, Friday and Saturday, I talked to 8 to 10, but maybe 8 of them were really plugged into the draft, and the other two, you know, we were just talking about, you know, quality of the draft and how they were going to do it mechanically. But I think somebody in the course of that conversation, those conversations, told me that, you know, Kalaivan Chaisson, probably the number two edge player in this draft from LSU, you know, they thought he'd be a really good pick, you know, for the Falcons, and not only a really good pick, but, you know, they had heard that they were interested in him. So that's about the only, you know, thing that I would say that could be possible. But I will also say this, that I think one of the things that Thomas Dimitroff did in free agency is he said basically that we're going to go out and get a couple of guys and we're going to fill a couple of holes. And obviously when you get Dante Fowler, you know, at a position that has been crying out, you know, for help, I think that's the whole idea. And that's why, to me, Chaisson is such an interesting player, not because he was the most, that, you know, he didn't have a huge number of sacks or anything at LSU, but I think one of the things that you notice about him when you examine him is he is a big player. You know, he's 6'3", 255. He's a big player, and so he's not just going to be the kind of edge rusher who is not going to be able to handle the run, you know, and is basically has a good chance anyway to be a three-down player. But I also think that they're not going to be forced into taking any specific position. You know, they went heavy on offensive line last year, so I would imagine they wouldn't do that this year. But to me, I like the fact that they've addressed stuff in free agency, and so they are not painted into a corner on what they have to do in this draft.
Peter King talking about the Falcons draft. Hugh, is it possible that the Falcons now look at it and say that we have – while we want to upgrade the defensive end position, that's no longer maybe the number one priority because you do have Dante Fowler, and maybe the number one priority is defensive tackle, or maybe the number one priority in the draft is cornerback?
Yeah, that's a possibility, John. I mean, it all depends on how they're looking at it. Like, I'm looking at it, and I always say this, from a fan's perspective. I mean, I'm not in the boardroom. I'm not in the war room with the Falcons. I don't know exactly how they feel about these players or how they evaluate these players. I'm just going off of what I know and how I feel about this team. They might feel like a corner with the guys that they have, a lockdown corner, would be the only piece that they need to be successful next year. It feels like somewhere along the line that might be the case, because you keep hearing that a lot. That's the one thing that you hear a lot when it comes to talking about the Falcons in that first-round draft pick, is that it feels like it might be a corner with that first pick.
Right, it might be C.J. Henderson, you know, and of course, we can't know how the draft is going to go. I mean, if in fact, a Kinlaw drops to them, they might have a decision that they have to make. Right now, the Falcons have Grady Jarrett. They do have Tyler Davidson kind of in the interior of the line, and we know that Tyler Davidson did a really good job last year as a, you know, a kind of a space eater and a run guy. He's not going to get any pressure on the quarterback, so there's no doubt that you can upgrade the defensive tackle spot with a Kinlaw. There's no doubt you could upgrade the depth, you know, with that defensive end, depending on how, and again, there's so many things we don't know, Hugh. Like, how do they view John Kaminsky this year? Are they expecting John Kaminsky or Deidrin Sanat to have an impact on this defense, and to what degree do they expect them to have any impact on that line?
Well, you know, if they got him, they expect him to do something, especially, I think, Kaminsky. I think that he's a guy that's probably going to be looked at to do a little bit more, because we still don't know what we're going to get with Tack. Tack has, and it's been stated, that Tack hasn't really lived up to expectations so far. So this is really kind of a make-or-break year for Tack right now. So if that doesn't work out and you're going into the season, you got to have a plan B. So I would think that at this point, if they don't bring in any defensive linemen, which I probably think they will in the later rounds, that Kaminsky has to be that guy.
Yes, it's just how you value your guy. Because, again, there are things we don't know because they're not going to tell us. You know, does Raheem Morris look at Isaiah Oliver and Kendall Sheffield and say, okay, with those guys, I'm okay. I got KZ at the nickel. I don't need a starter at that position. So, again, all this stuff is, you know, Thomas Dimitroff talking about on their board and their list of priorities, it's going to be, you know, kind of a team thing about, you know, what do you value and where do you go in this draft, which makes it kind of interesting, Hugh, because honestly, as we sit here 8 days ahead of the draft, you know, notwithstanding the fact that we don't know how the draft is going to fall when it gets to 16 for the Falcons, I'm not really sure who they're going to take.
Nobody is, John. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about it. We sit up here and we talk about this all day long, but none of us know. Only people that know are the Falcons and the people that work for them.
Peter King had more to say on Tom Brady going to Tampa, on Cam Newton, and what's his future. We'll have those cuts from Peter King for you at the top of the hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is helping you stay connected. John and Hugh reminding you, you can listen to 92.9 The Game at home on your smart device or using the radio.com app. Downloading the app, simple. Go to the app store, type in radio.com, download the free radio.com app, and you can listen to 92.9 The Game anytime, anyplace. Some more information at radio.com/stay connected. Sweet Tea is next, and we'll hear from Denitra some of the fun stories that she digs up as we continue on this Jackie Robinson Wednesday, the April the 15th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
He brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Normally, we sit here going into Sweet Tea on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we say, welcome to Tanitra. Hey, we're covering all the big stories, so we're missing stuff. But Tanitra, we're only covering one big story, but we're still missing stuff nonetheless. How you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. Just hanging in there. You know, you're a little cabin fever, but, you know, doing okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yesterday and today, even this morning, I'm like, So, yeah, I'm going to have to go take a walk at some point in the day, but I hear that we're going to have beautiful weather today, tomorrow, and Friday, so that's at least encouraging, right?
Yeah.
Encouraging.
And yep, stay 6 feet apart. Just anything. Make sure you stay 6 feet apart, though. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, and that was the only thing when I looked out in the neighborhood yesterday, I thought, yeah, I'm going to have to pick a different time because, I don't know, it just seems kind of crowded in the afternoon, so maybe right after the show or maybe right after my shift wraps up, it'll be kind of quiet right before lunch. But anyway, wanted to share this. I thought this was hilarious. I thought Hugh would find this funny and maybe John too. But Entertainment One recently announced Dr. Dre's debut album, The Chronic, will be available for digital consumption on all streaming services on April 20th. So according to the global president of music and live entertainment at Entertainment One, Chris Taylor, fans now have another reason to celebrate what has become a national holiday celebrating all things cannabis-related, were legally allowed and in moderation, of course. And The Chronic, the album, was released 28 years ago. It's a perfect complement to what's actually kind of International Cannabis Day next Monday. But I got to tell you, I didn't even know that was a thing.
You know what? I knew it was a thing, so I've been told. Friends of mine have told me about this. It's a big holiday. That's all I got on that.
No idea. John, did you know?
I've heard of this before. Yeah, I mean, right up there with all those other fake holidays. But yeah, I've heard of this before.
Exactly. Just another reason, I guess, for people to celebrate. And hey, who knows? Come Monday, Manic Monday, another Monday where we're dealing with the pandemic, could be fun for a lot of people. That might be their way to release stress and kind of decompress from cabin fever. So anyway, another way to decompress for a lot of people is TV binge watching. Now, I'm not a binger. You know, the most I'll go is maybe two episodes of a show, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good, I'm done. But there's a top 10 list that was released by Grind.com. I wanted to share this with you guys and kind of see if you had to decide. And I didn't feel like these were true throwbacks, but okay. If you had to decide on a throwback, what would it be? So their top 10 is this: The Sopranos, Law & Order SVU, The Wire, Charmed, Living Single, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Golden Girls, Star Trek The Next Generation, Degrassi The Next Generation, and Sex and the City.
Definitely Buffy the Vampire Slayer is old school.
Oh.
That's definitely old school.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Would
that be on your throwback list?
I would watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Degrassi, not at all. Not at all. That's not my genre. The Sopranos, knowing how it ended, probably not. But then again, I would watch just to go back and relive some of the episodes that happened and some of the people that got whacked on the show. Definitely live some of those.
Yeah, I'd probably go back. You know, I was TNG, Next Generation, is by far my favorite of the Star Trek universe. And, I would probably go back because, you know, it's been so long now. It's been 25 years almost. that I could go back and I would have, you know, I'll forget an episode. You know, I find myself doing this. You know, when the next year of a series that I'm watching, like, for example, the next year of Last Kingdom is coming up, their third season is coming up on the 26th, I'm going to have to go back and watch, like, the last two of last year because I've already forgotten those. And I go, oh, mm-hmm. okay. So I'm sure that I've forgotten, you know, except for a couple of my favorite, you know, ones of all time, almost every episode of Star Trek Next Generation. So I could almost go back and watch that almost as new again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because when I looked at the list, I thought, okay, The Sopranos I kind of watched here and there. I don't know if I would go back and binge watch it because, like you said, I know the ending, and I kind of followed the show throughout, and I wasn't that pleased with the ending my darn self. Now, the article actually specified with Law & Order, that's the funny thing. It said SVU season number one, so I guess that's what they would consider sort of the throwback binge. For me, it would be Law & Order Criminal Intent. I just really thought that that was the best of the best. Could be because I'm a Courtney B. Vance fan, but definitely it's always been Criminal Intent. Never watched The Wire. Don't think I need to see that. Run back. I'm good. Or Charmed.
No, The Wire is good. You'll like The Wire. You'll definitely like The Wire.
It's heavy, but it's good.
Yeah, it's really good. You'll like The Wire.
But I know that story all too well. I really don't need to see it. Yes.
Yeah, I got you.
Thank you very much.
I got you. Yeah.
And then Living Single. Hey, I watch that almost every night anyway, so that's not really a binge for me. Might be considered a throwback, but not really a binge. Skip over Buffy the Vampire Slayer as well. Golden Girls, you guys know I talk about Golden Girls all the time because I watch it every single night. Oh, Star Trek, you know, John, I've just never really been a Star Trek fan, so I probably wouldn't necessarily go back and binge it, although I might do it here and there just because I'd love to see what the hype is for you. Grassy, skip that. Sex and the City, I probably will go back and watch a little bit of that, but believe it or not, I didn't watch it every single day because I just felt like, hey, I got that in what I saw with Living Single. I'm good. But I did see the movies, and I thought they were fantastic. So, yeah, that would kind of be my binge list, and I probably should have asked him in advance, but I know he can whisper in you guys' ears, so you guys will have to tell me what Oren says. But I'm just curious to know with Oren and Abe, or you guys can text me, and I'll let the audience know what their throwbacks would have been as well. So, guys, let me know, and I'll come back and let the audience know what you guys would be watching if you got a chance to binge. But, you know, another story that I love to talk about is anything positive related to COVID-19, because obviously this thing just, you know, is gripping us every single day. But there are some positive things going on out there and some people doing very positive things, like a boxer out of Canada. You know, pretty much every top boxer, WBC NABF light flyweight champion Kim Clavel had her upcoming match canceled amid the pandemic, but she's a little different than every other top boxer. She headed straight for the hospital. So with her, she had put her boxing career on hold for a minute. Then she'd gone back to nursing. Then she went back to boxing. Now she's going back to nursing to help deal with the virus that, of course, has shut down the entire industry. Her record sits at an undefeated 11-0, so she's no joke in the boxing ring. But after she'd taken a year-long sabbatical from nursing, obviously the circumstances around this world have changed. So a day after that fight was scheduled and then canceled, she got in her scrubs. And, of course, she's not alone because former NFL safety Myron Rolle and former MLB first baseman Mark Hamilton also found themselves during the COVID fight after completing medical school after they had announced retirement. So I always think it's really, really awesome to hear those stories of how individuals who have two careers are going into medicine to help fight this pandemic.
A selfless act. I mean, that right there, and shout out to everybody that's dealing with this, not only the doctors and the nurses, but everybody that's involved with trying to fight this battle. We commend all of you because it has to be tough, the toll, the hours that is taken on you personally, and the toll that it's putting on your family. We commend everybody that's helping trying to fight this COVID-19.
Yeah, hear, hear. Absolutely hear, hear. Yeah, Myron Rolle was a great story, too. I mean, really great story.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then you think about the fact we're having one of our Zoom parties. That's my thing. I probably do more Zoom parties these days a little bit. I seem to have one.
That is the big thing now, Tanitra. The Zoom parties are huge.
They are. It really makes you feel connected in probably the best way that we can connect you know, obviously you'll have Duo or WhatsApp or FaceTime, but one thing that Zoom allows for is you can have all the people on the screen at the same time, and I think that's really kind of cool. So, yeah, we did a Zoom party last night, and the only kind of downside is sometimes when you're doing it with people who are mostly or all in the healthcare profession is it invariably goes back to research and what's going on and the day-to-day, you know, their play-by-play, if you will. And so last night I was like, oh, cringe, because it seems like every day there's a new thing coming out telling us, hey, we didn't know that the virus could live on this or live through that for up to 5 days or 7 days or 9 days. So sometimes I feel like there's not enough disinfecting, any sanitizing that any of us can seem to do, you know, through the pandemic. But, hey, all we can do is try to be as safe as we can as we go from and through our day-to-day.
Yeah, and wash your hands. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Wash your hands.
It is Sweet Tea from Denitra. You can follow her on Twitter at Denitra Batiste and check her out. Of course, she does a great job every day with the news and Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at this time with her segment Sweet Tea. All the fun stories that you know she can dig up, all the interesting stuff, and we appreciate that quite a bit. We mentioned that Peter King was on with Dukes of Bell yesterday. We pulled a bunch of chunks, and we only got to really the Falcons stuff in the 8 o'clock hour, so we're going to get to some of the other things, his thoughts on Tom Brady, his thoughts on Cam Newton, and we'll talk a little bit about what we learned about the NFC South from our swing around the NFC South this week, and we'll do that next at the top of the hour. Many of your neighborhood businesses are still open to help deliver services in need, from takeout food to delivery. The following are a few restaurants offering pickup and delivery options: Smoke Jack in Alpharetta, Atlanta Breakfast Club, McCray's Tavern, The Nook in Midtown. To see the full list in your neighborhood, add to the list, go to 929thegame.com/lovelocalatlanta. Peter King on Tom Brady and Cam Newton next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 929 The Game and radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.